Nelson McCausland and Scott Moir debating this morning whether the voting age should be lowered in Northern Ireland ahead of the next election. Nelson, you're there, Nelson, yeah? Hello?
Yes.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Good man. Can I pick up on a point that you made earlier, where you said that you think for those people who are 16 and 17, that they're more interested in other things at that age than politics?
I said any of them, because there are exceptions, and Scott is certainly an exception. I'm also aware...
Yeah, there are exceptions, but there's a groundswell. Nelson, I know this through the top table show I'm doing, right? I'm certainly seeing a groundswell, and maybe you've seen this during your political career, of young, sometimes very young people, but certainly quite a few, 16, 17-year-olds, and they're immersed in political opinion in Northern Ireland. They want to change Northern Ireland. They've got really well-formed views on what they want to change to affect their life in this country. Are we seriously going to exclude them from political debate in this country?
My own experience is that when I was 16, I was interested in politics. But I don't think that I was mature enough at 16 to be of voting age. I think 18 is the right age. Now, having said that, below 18, there is ample opportunity for young people to be involved in politics, to become involved with political parties, to shape the policies of those parties, to influence them. There are lots of things that young people can do to be involved in politics.
Yeah, but is it not a negative message to tell them they can be involved, but they can't have a say that matters in terms of a vote? Nelson's dropped off yet again. We're having problems with mobile phones this morning. Scott Moir, do you want to reply?
Yeah, you'll have to forgive me, Stephen. There was a fire alarm just went off in my apartment there. I'm just in my uni accommodation here in Belfast, and I didn't catch what you said. So what was it you said?
I was saying to Nelson that through the Top Table show, that and you know this because you've been at some of the sessions with me, that there is there's a groundswell. There's a real momentum among young people, and some of them are very young, and some of them are 16 and 17-year-olds who have many different really well-formed opinions as to how they want to change this country, and why are we excluding them from the vote?
I absolutely agree with you, Stephen. Like, you know yourself, like, I was at the casting sessions for Top Table. You know, you've been there as well, and I think the biggest argument that we could put to anybody who's against votes at 16 and 17 is if they could come to one of those sessions and see the young people, you know, like myself and like the other young people who are coming up now, and see what they have to say and see how sort of educated and knowledgeable they are about these sorts of issues.
Yeah.
I think there would be very few people, if they got to see that, that would still be opposed to votes at 16. And the thing is as well...
Yeah, but Scott, life experience does matter. So it does matter, and you've got to call an age at some stage.
Well, and
when you've been round a few more corners, and I'm doing my best not to sound patronising here, right? When you've been around a few more corners, then you've got a little bit of a higher overview as to what the world means. You've made a few mistakes along the way, and you have a slightly different perspective on things. You get that, right?
Well, I think life experience is only one factor out of a lot of things. I think political knowledge has to be considered the main thing, and a lot of older people don't have as much political knowledge as a lot of 16 and 17-year-olds. And I think older people sort of struggle to come to terms with that, but it's sort of the way it is, you know what I mean? Like, one older person, like, being immature or irresponsible or having interest other than politics would never be used as an excuse to cap the voting age, to say that over this age you can't vote. That would never happen. But one young person, one 16 or 17-year-old being immature, you know, it's frequently used as an example of saying, oh, well, you shouldn't give 16 and 17-year-olds the vote. Look how they go on, you know. And it's
if you're giving 16-year-olds the vote, why not 15-year-olds?
Well, 16.
Why 16?
Because it's a recognised, like, threshold, like, in many aspects of law, as you mentioned.
So is 18.
16, but 16 is also a threshold in the sense that it's the age where you can get a job, you can pay taxes, You can join the army. You can get married with parental permission. There's so many things.
Okay. Stay there, Scott. Nelson's dropped off, so we're going to buy Nelson a new phone for Christmas next year or in 2040. Right. Chris in Belfast. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I wanted to actually make the point that I think we should raise the voting age rather than lower it.
Why?
Well, I think there's been a major change in society in terms of, you know, the amount of young people going to university now. And, you know, it's a lot older. They're a lot older now before they're actually settling down and getting a job and, you know, paying taxes and everything.
So, what's that got to do with it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with the life experiences. You know, I think it's okay, you know, having, you know, political knowledge when you're 16 or 17, but you don't really live in the real world. You know, you don't...
It's pretty patronising, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, when I think back to when I was 16 or 17, I mean, I didn't have a clue about the world. I would not vote the way I vote today, when I was 16 or 17.
So you've got the law of the land and society says that you know the difference from right and wrong from age 10. In other words, criminal responsibility. You can be held criminally accountable for decisions you make from the age of 10. And yet, we're telling 16-year-olds.
Well, yeah, I think you can morally. I would actually argue maybe lower than that. You can.
But you're telling a 16-year-old they don't have the maturity to be able to make a political decision.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between a political decision and a moral decision.
Stella writes to me on the email this morning, nolan@bbc.co.uk. Have a listen to this, Chris.
Okay.
And Stella says, I've given much thought to the matter of reducing the voting age, especially given the vibrant nature of our local democracy. I think the time might be right for such a reduction. May I suggest that from the age of 8, a child of this age has the cognitive ability in Northern Ireland to recognise the difference between two colours, orange and green?
Okay.
I guess the point Stella's making is that there might be a younger generation coming through less interested in orange and green and more interested in some of those social affairs issues that affect their lives. Scott?
Right, Stephen, I've got two things to say, right, and I hope you'll let me say them. Firstly, I think Chris is a bit arrogant because him personally being immature...
You're not too shy yourself.
Yeah, him personally being immature or not educated about political issues or about life in general at 16 should not mean that every single 16 and 17-year-old shouldn't be able to have a say on political issues or shouldn't be able to have a vote. That shouldn't be the case. Another thing I would say is, Stephen, I don't know if you could do this, but I would like you to maybe invite Chris to a top table casting session so he can maybe see young people firsthand, you know, as an observer, and maybe see that if he got to see that, would he still hold the opinion that he does, that he would actually raise the voting age? Because I don't think he would.
Chris?
No, well, I think you misunderstand me. I'm not saying young people are stupid or don't understand things.
Yeah.
I just don't think they've got the experience of the world. I mean, there's a lot of really smart, intelligent young people out there, but I just think you need to live in the real world and get into the working environment and paying your taxes and, you know, all those sort of things before you've really got that experience of what you're voting on.
Well, young people do live in the real world. They're affected by public services. Many of them pay taxes. You know, they in that sense, like, they should have the same right to have a say on the public services that affect them and how their taxes are spent as older people do.
I understand that, but they don't really understand where money comes from or how money's generated. You know, young people think that money just grows on trees and they can just vote for more public services without realising where the money's coming from. And that's exactly the way I would have thought when I was that age. And I do think that's the way young people think. And
really?
Yeah.
By the time you get to 16, you don't think... I reckon there might be some young people age 15, 16, Chris, who could buy and sell you.
Yeah, maybe so.
So why are these sweeping statements that they don't... You know, they don't know where money comes from and all this type of malarkey.
Well, it's just my observation of the world, really. There probably are individuals there, but I'm just talking about the vast majority of young people. that, you know, I just don't think they would really have the experience or knowledge of the world to really be making those decisions.
And here's John in Newton Abbey. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Thanks, Chris. Morning, John.
Stephen, where does it all stop then? You say, oh, let them vote at 16.
I'm not saying, I'm asking the question.
Well, okay, but you're asking the question. I personally don't think that all 16-year-olds are capable of making such a decision to vote. Would you think it's, do you think it's fair that a 16 of the...
Of course all 16-year-olds aren't capable, but they're... Well, have you heard some of our politicians and some of our callers and some of our family and all of this? They're 40 and 15-year-olds. 15-year-olds who don't know what day of the week it is.
Well, but Finney, interrupt me here. If you want them at 16 years of age to be able to vote, do you think it's fair that they should be able to go and sit in public houses and sit and drink all day at 16?
Well, you're stereotyping 16 and 17.
Stereotyping. No, don't be stereotyping anyone. I am only suggesting that, yes, the top table program there is fantastic to see. You see a lot of young ones there able to be given their opinions out. But that isn't that the broad outlook of all young ones at that age throughout Northern Ireland.
What makes you qualified to say what is the broad outlook?
What makes you qualified? Because you're young. It makes you qualified to be able to say that all young ones at 16 years of age have got the capability to make decisions, to vote.
Well, what I'm saying, right, is that 16-year-olds have the right to pay taxes, they have a right to get a job, they have a right to join the army, they have a right to get married with parental permission, 16 is the age of consent, they have all these rights, and society, for whatever reason, hasn't collected.
They have the right to join the army at 16, but they've not got the right to be on the front lane.
Well, this is
now,
not the right.
What's
to join
the difference
the army?
There? If they can join the army at 15, at 16, why can they not fight at 16? No,
I think you're,
they can
I think
join
you're
the army, but they're not allowed to be on the front line at 16. Yes,
I think
listen.
What
happens if it's introduced to where we let them vote at 16? What do we do in a couple of years down the lane when somebody comes forward and says, "Tell you what, I think we should let people vote."
What are you afraid of allowing 16?
Nobody's afraid of nothing. Simple. In fact, if I had my way, I wouldn't let anyone vote till they were 21 years of age.
That's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. It's not ridiculous.
See, right? If people, like, if there's people that think young people are the future, yet fail to trust them to have a say about the decisions that affect them, how can we feel surprised if they don't feel like they have a stake in their communities later on down the line?
So you think someone at 16 years of age would be sitting in the Houses of Parliament or in Stormont or whatever they like, and they're able to make decisions about as a finance minister?
Well, there's a difference between, like, the right to vote and the right to stand for election.
Oh, we've lost John there. Tim and Armagh. Morning, Tim.
I think the protests that we saw from the school children on the Fridays demonstrates that they've got the ability to think at a political level and an environmental level. Why are we afraid to give them the vote, Nelson? That's what I'd like to know, but unfortunately he's away now. If you're going to take money off people, if you're going to tax them, you have to allow them to be represented.
I enthusiastically agree.
And Norman, Norman and Bangor. Morning, Norman.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I agree with the last gentleman who was on. Raise the age to 21. When you look at the antisocial behaviour, the drinking drugs among young ones at 16 and 17 years of age, are we actually going to give them voting papers? Come on. They're having it off. They're irresponsible. They don't know how to run a home.
All these sweeping statements.
It's not a sweeping
statement.
It's in
yes,
the
it
papers
is.
Every day of the week.
Well, it's in the papers every day of the week about 50 and 60-year-olds.
Yesterday you were talking about young ones on Facebook organised sectarian fights.
Plenty of sectarian fights in this country over the years involving people a lot older, Norman.
I know there is, Stephen, and I have watched Top Table. And what comes across to me, the young ones that's in the DUP and Sinn Féin, it's the same old sectarian arguments among them. And I say to myself, God help this country if this is the next generation standing for election. No. We need to get away from this sectarianism that we're embroiled in.
Norman, thank you. Morning to you. And Scott Muir, thank you very much indeed.